We're talking virology issues with Dr. Natalie Netzler. So Ngāti Rune, Ngāti Haua, Motuotua, Māori, and Samoan Whakapapa Connections. She's a senior lecturer and virologist at Auckland Uni's Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences. And Natalie's just been awarded the Cranwell Medal for her work and communication research and information to Māori communities during COVID-19. Natalie, tēnā koe, ko dāo tēnei.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Thank you so much for having me on the show this morning.
It's neat to have you on the show, and thank you for the mahi that you've been doing. Well, firstly, the award. Can you tell us a little bit about that tohu and what it means to you and what it was awarded to you for, sister? Kōrero mai, Natalie.
So the Cranwell Medal has been given to a number of people in the past that communicate science to the public in a way that is easy to understand and digestible, because as you can understand, science has a lot of jargon and a lot of technical language, but what really matters is that, particularly around COVID time, everybody understands what's going on, and it's important that everybody has the right information to make their own decisions. So as a virologist, I study viruses in a contained environment, and I study how they infect us so that I can try and find tools to fight back, like antivirals, which are medicines to stop the virus once we catch it, or vaccines that stop us from getting sick in the first place. And when the COVID pandemic broke out, my Tongan colleague Chris Puliavia and I got so many questions from our whānau, from our friends, that we started to organise these online hui to help people have the correct information so that they could make their own informed decisions about getting vaccinated. And there was such a huge response. We stopped counting at over 60 hui. We volunteered at vaccine drives. We partnered with these amazing community groups in Marae to help Māori and Pacific communities have access to the right information throughout the pandemic. And it's been so humbling and such a privilege to get the recognition with the Cranwell Medal.
Tēnā koe, congratulations. As you know, Māori were a little ambivalent towards some of the messaging that came. The one-size-fits-all did not work in Māori communities, and we had literally
Absolutely.
Had to go door-to-door. But there was also an expectation of trust in a Western pharmaceutical model that most of us don't understand. And be fair to say, many of us, myself included, don't really understand the inner workings of our bodies and how they might react to certain substances, Natalie. So breaking it down for Māori and Pacifica into layman's terms and easily recognisable concepts was quite the challenge. And I know you and your colleague doing exactly that, and perhaps why this tohu was awarded to you. What would you say about our nervousness to just accept Western science as the relevant intervention here? It took some selling, I felt anyway.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, a pandemic response is all about trust, and the failings of the Crown in the past with our trust, it was a very hard sell. And I think, you know, it's important to note that we weren't pushing people to get the vaccine. We were pushing people to have the right information to dispel the misinformation and make sure people understand so that they could make their own informed decisions. And so what we did is we used analogies. So for how the body works, how the vaccine works, what's in the vaccine, we use storytelling and humour, you know, our ways to explain the science and dispel that misinformation. But what we also did is we wanted to make sure people really felt empowered in their decision-making, so we made a whole lot of resources that explained what was in the vaccine, how it worked, what it did in your body, the side effects, and we had translated these resources into Te Reo Māori with the help of the Moko Foundation and Te Tai Tokoro and the other major Pacific languages to just empower our communities. We also partnered with community groups, churches, charities and organisations to reach into the communities where the Crown cannot. And I also did some immediate media engagement with Māori and Pacific-focused media, but really it was that storytelling, humour, analogies that really cut through. But we didn't just talk at people. You know, it's a porero, it's a talanoa. So we would have these presentations where we'd explain how the vaccine worked, but then we would have sometimes up to 2 hours of Q&A with our community to address their specific concerns. Because what we actually found is that so many people weren't anti-vaccine, They were just worried about a specific question that they couldn't find the answer to. They didn't know who to ask. And it's all about trust. So they felt if they saw someone that looked like them, talked like them, thought like them, and could give them a reasonable answer that they could understand, then they were empowered to make their own decision.
As we quite rightly review our response to the COVID challenge, we are trying to chart a better way forward. I note even this morning, epidemiologists calling for a Centre for Disease Control because they are anticipating another vaccine or challenge in the future, which I guess we all have to note. But as we review our approaches last time around, and let's face it, we were under some pretty heavy heat at that time too because we were dealing with an unknown beast. But when we review it, what might be some of the suggestions, bearing in mind what you've just said about the need to connect the dots in a culturally appropriate way with Māori and Pacifica? Let's just start there. There would be many other cultures who perhaps could do with a similar approach. But if we were confronted with a similar situation again, how much more impetus do you think would be appropriate to factor in this sort of corridor, this sort of talanoa and information so that we can smooth the waters getting support for vaccines or the like going forward as we review where we were? How important to factor all of what you've learnt into the way we operate next time around?
I think it's all about the power of community. I think it's all about investing in the infrastructure and community leaders and all of, you know, all of our iwi. Some of us have different views and different tikanga, but the point is the best response is that local response with trusted people within the community. And I think the investment into infrastructure and leaders right now to prepare for that next wave is the thing. You know, the best initiatives for our Māori and Pacific whānau are the trusted community-led initiatives on the ground using rangatiratanga, manaakitanga, kaitiakitanga, and the power of whānau. I was absolutely humbled and uplifted and inspired by so many great leaders in our community who united everyone, stood up and offered such amazing support. You know, the marae-based care packs, the open door policies, even the roadblocks, the tireless efforts in the community, they all deserve a medal.
It's really refreshing to hear you call it all like that, Natalie. And, you know, I mean, if I say the term virologist, most of our eyes glaze over because we don't understand the area that you have expertise in. And I note you're a senior lecturer in molecular medicine and pathology, all of it terminology that can go over the heads of our Māori and Pacifica whānau. But on the other hand, you still manage to talk like one of us.
You know, it's funny, when we did this hui once, and this man stood up and he said, you know, when I think about scientists, I think of the old guy from Back to the Future. I do not think about people like you, brown people that talk like us and think like us. And that's the key, I think, is finding people that can walk both worlds to translate and make sure that there's a two-way korero so that everybody can be on the same boat, on the same waka and head in the same safe direction. I think that's what's key.
I reckon so too. How come you're a virologist? What appealed to you initially about this area of mahi?
Oh, just like so fascinating. These little things that you can't even see and they create such devastation. I think, you know, for me, it's about fighting back. I wanted to be part of the team that fought back against these little things that can make us so sick and take our loved ones. You look at the urapā, those piles where, you know, in the Spanish flu, we lost so many loved ones, and many of us lost loved ones in this latest pandemic. I want to be one of those champions, those warriors that fight back and try and really just make a difference to a positive impact on people's lives.
I note you've put a bit of work into the impact of genetics on viral infection susceptibility and clinical outcomes. Could you flesh that out again? I mean, are there some peoples more predisposed to getting COVID because of hereditary factors or genetic makeup?
Well, this is the big question, and this is what I want to try and find out. You know, Māori and Pacific peoples, we have our whakapapa that has had a lot of impact over the centuries. You think about the introduction of all those first diseases, the first time we saw them, you know, measles, influenza, smallpox. We didn't have them before those ships came in, you know, the European ships came in. And so a lot of our populations were devastated down to very small numbers throughout the Pacific. And what we see is that as a result, we have around 2,000 unique adaptations in our DNA, and we don't know what they do because there's so little studies. We don't know, do they help? Do they make us more likely to get sick? Or, you know, have they given us our superpowers? And I really just want to have a look and see, are there any differences in Māori and Pacific responses to infection that can explain some of these disproportionate severe outcomes and hospitalizations from influenza, from RSV, from COVID? You know, a lot of the studies are on the sort of disempowering lifestyle choices, and I want to see if there's something else that could actually be addressed in a clinical setting.
Can you just touch on for a moment, please, Natalie, on this All Pacifica female-led study looking at traditional Samoan medicines to screen for antivirals?
Absolutely. So my dad, Gene Netzler, he was born and raised in Samoa. So this project's really close to my heart. We have centuries of safe and effective medicines in our own rongoā and also Pacific traditional medicines. And I'm really privileged to be part of an all-Pacific female-led study alongside Dr. Helen Woolner, a Cook Island Māori chemist at Victoria University, and an amazing plant technologist at the Scientific Research Organization of Samoa, and other traditional healers. So we're partnering again with the Samoan community with traditional healers to look at medicines as antivirals that come from Samoan rako, so plants. And we're really excited. We have some really great results already. But we wanted to lead the study with all Pacific-fronted female approach to ensure the protection of this traditional mātauranga. So it's Pacific research led by Pacific people, and it's all about enhancing our own Indigenous mātauranga.
Well, yours is a refreshing voice, sister, and I thank you for sharing some kōrero about your area of expertise, but also with your ability to convey it in simple terms that connects the dots for our Māori and Pacifica people, and all the very best with the mahi going forward. I hope you'll allow us to link arms again for a conversation your mahi grows. A really interesting kōrero, and thanks very much for sharing it with us today, Natalie. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi nui. Tēnā koe, thanks, Natalie.